Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, fellow Creative Control listeners. My name is Mac Cameron. I live in Toronto, and I have been listening to Creative Control with Vish Khanna since episode 119 that featured all five members of one of my favorite bands, Constantines. I listen backwards from there and then forwards, and I know it sounds, you know, over the top or cliche, but finding the show changed the course of my life. It inspired me to pursue a career in radio and to do what I can to support the arts in my community and across the country. So I give to Creative Control because I feel like I owe the show and Vish for helping me figure out what the hell to do with my life. Beyond that, I give to Creative Control because I think independent media, especially insightful, entertaining, thoughtful, and thorough independent media, is something that is worth paying for. What I appreciate about Creative Control is Vish's ability to treat Canadian artists, or any artist for that matter, with the seriousness and appreciation he would any other artist. His excellent rapport with people like Steve Albini and the members of Fugazi and Stephen Malkmus and others have earned him international appreciation. However, it's his trove of interviews with what I consider to be the most exciting generation of Canadian musicians, conducted out of genuine passion and interest, that makes this show so special. I think it is an archive of some really exciting music that is way, way underreported on and appreciated. That's why I contribute to Creative Control with Vish Khanna, and I hope you will do the same.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Vish's wife, and I will love him no matter what you do, and now he has me on the record saying that.
Friendly Rich is the pseudonym employed by the musician and arts organizer Richard Marcella, who originally hails from Brampton, Ontario. A community bridge builder and establishment apple cart upsetter, Rich is well regarded for his eclectic and theatrical musical aesthetic, which has been evolving for almost 20 years. His latest album is the darkly controversial We Are All Terrorists, which features 75 guest musicians and covers all sorts of material regarding the socio-political condition of humanity as we currently know it. Rich and I recently met at Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for a conversation about We Are All Terrorists, his life and musical trajectory, the state of the world in a cloudy internet age of outrage, local politics and activism, his own struggles, delicious donuts, his future plans, and much more. A part of the E1 Podcast Network, with the support of listeners like you who subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, obviously. This is the 517th episode of Creative Control, featuring my old pal, Friendly Rich, with your host, me, Vish Khanna.
We'll circle of your blood.
Mitch, thanks for being back on the show.
Delighted to be here with you.
We are at Granddad's Donuts.
Yeah.
In Hamilton, Ontario. I've recorded, I think, just the one episode here, but they have been loyal sponsors.
Oh, man.
Well, fattening me up.
Yeah. A toast to Granddad's.
What did you get?
I lift a Boston cream donut. That's my donut. Yeah. What's yours?
I got a walnut crunch.
I toast to you.
Okay.
We're not going to touch.
No, because you got a little thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. Mm. That's a Boston cream donut. Delightful.
This is just like how they used to make them
at
the Canada's national donut chain, like in the 80s.
Right.
And early 90s. And then they abandoned this amazing craftsmanship.
Yeah, these guys know what they're doing.
To save money. And
a
now,
toast to Granddad's.
I love it. I love it. You picked this place. Why did you pick Granddad's?
I love this place, too. It's a great hang. It's a nice booth.
Did you hear about it because of the sponsorship on my show?
And it worked.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this works. This is marketing in action.
Have you been to my other sponsors by chance?
No.
Okay.
This is the only one that spoke to me.
Okay. Well.
Pizza truck at Darrow.
No. It's fantastic.
Forget it.
You go to Guelph all the time.
Maybe I'll order pizza next time I'm in Guelph.
You should.
Toast.
And if you are, Phil told me.
See?
He knows I'm leaving. He said, if any of your friends want pizza, call me. I will give them pizza.
All right.
Because I'm going to keep up the sponsorship. Even if I get an Edmonton pizza sponsorship, I'm going to keep promoting Pizza Truck Darrow.
And you're going to nod a hat to these guys too?
I would assume so.
Yeah, good.
I got to fly into the airport. Loyalty. It's in Hamilton. So if I'm here, I might as well get a donut.
Loyalty. I like that, Bish. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That was good.
Yeah, good donut. Okay, let's take... I don't know how we're going to do an interview with mouths full of donuts, but we'll make it work.
People don't like hearing people eat while they're talking.
No, they don't, but...
Well, the thing is, what I suggest, from experience, I ask you a question. While you're fielding the question, I take a munch on a donut.
We'll get the timing down.
And then when you're done chewing, I ask my follow-up question.
Yeah, okay.
That's how we're going to do this, and it's going to work just fine. Now, so you picked this place, and you mentioned Guelph.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your new album. What's your new album called?
We Are All Terrorists.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Why is it called that? I was going to say, you have a song on it about Guelph.
I do. Donkey Day. Yeah, that would have been a safer bet, probably.
We'd be more fit, probably, at the end of it.
Yeah,
but no, let's backtrack. Why is it called We Are All Terrorists?
Well, there's the track on the record called We Are All Terrorists is me kind of exploring that. It's been kind of the last 20 years of my career exploring this notion of, you know, anarchy, constructive anarchy, and I get really angry when I see... The term incel is new to me. It's come up, in the past couple of years? But when I see someone gun down their school, like, I've been pretty much railing against it since Columbine. And
that's kind of what those guys were, weren't they? They were incels.
Right, right.
We didn't have a name for it then.
And so this is my... You know, it's been a long time in the making, but it's my kind of getting all that out, saying be creative. I know it's more complex than that. I know a lot of it is mental illness, and I don't know what goes through someone's mind, but I've suffered some of, you know, what I think. I would be completely off the rails if I didn't have music, right? So I can kind of relate to...
Oh, I see.
But I'm super thankful to have channeled negative energy or weird thoughts into my music, so... That's kind of where I'm at with this record. It explores some dark themes, obviously this one, and I didn't want to shy away from it. I thought, I'm going to call it We Are All Terrorists, and I'm going to talk and sing about it and share my worldview on it. So it is dangerous, you're right.
The people who might see it as a controversial title or a provocative title may be missing the empathy.
Right.
You're saying we are all... In pain, like we all have
it in us.
That hate is all within us. It's just a matter of how we can channel it, and where we channel it, and how we can make something positive of it.
Yeah, yeah. Nice, thanks, Vish.
Did I just write your bio?
You just did really well for me there. No, and it's been tough trying to, you know, I've always been kind of political, but this one's definitely like me taking a step right. And the older I get with it, the more confident I am with it. The more I want to share that. I see great importance in that and not really dancing around it or, you know.
So being political can mean being uncompromising on one hand.
Right.
I mean, uncompromising being political is all about compromise, but being political can also mean putting your neck out and sticking your neck out and,
right.
and taking stands that are maybe controversial or outside of convention.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're an uncompromising musician as well. So I'm wondering, what do you remember? Because I can't remember the last time you were on the show. We
yeah.
did a walk from my house, my old house in Guelph,
yeah.
to Eric the Baker.
Right.
We did a parade route podcast.
Right.
We were in transit meeting people. I think we went to the farmer's market.
That's right, we did.
We
yeah.
did my Saturday morning routine. Were my kids with me? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Okay.
That's fun. That pastries and donuts are always a through line.
Food,
yeah,
and I have a thing where I have breakfast with people sometimes.
Yeah,
I used
yeah.
to have a whole show on our national broadcaster in Canada where I had breakfast with people. So I'm a glutton. I'm actually relatively fit for a guy who does so much eating.
Around his work.
Around my
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm relatively good shape. That's
yeah.
what my doctor says.
Good.
Anyway, my point here is I don't remember if in that conversation, because there were a lot of distractions.
Yeah, there were.
I don't know if we got to your origin story, Rich. I don't know if we got to where this uncompromising element to your work as a, not only as a musician, and a citizen of, formerly, I think, of Brampton. Where are you these
yeah,
days?
Yeah, I'm in Oakville, but yeah,
yeah,
Brampton.
Nearby.
Yeah.
So where does that come from? Where does your impulse to provoke change in fun, silly ways come from? Because I think of you, man, I was just talking about your Brampton Indie Arts
yeah,
Festival the
yeah,
other day with someone
yeah.
and how great that was.
Yeah, thanks.
You still do amazing
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
My question, which I'm getting to,
yeah.
where does this impulse come from to do these things in this way?
I think it all comes from Brampton, actually, if you really think about it. It was a battle of, like, I think creative people come from sometimes very boring places. And for me, that was the case, right? Mm-hmm. It was always battling against, holy shit, it's just home after home after home after home. And it's just so sterile culturally
suburbs.
That I want to kind of fight
suburb.
That.
Yeah,
yeah man.
Yeah.
And it's a total suburban upbringing. And I want to kind of fight that boredom with putting weird, which is all I know, creative work into the world, and it growing and seeing it ferment is really exciting for me. Seeing these friendships and bonds and
yeah.
all of that along the way, like you know, relationships that now run 15 to 20 years deep.
How long have I known
you? Beautiful. I don't know. I mean, if
I
you were coming to the Brampton Indie Arts Festival, that's
2003.
It started in 1999.
Oh, okay.
And went to, yeah, probably around early 2000s that you came with Radio 3, I think, was that
no,
when we connected.
I
or were you
first,
coming before that?
It was with Exclaim.
Okay, right.
And it
right.
was at the Rose Theater? No.
Heritage Theater.
Heritage
which
Theater,
is
which
the
I
old
love.
Theater,
yeah.
abandoned theater. Yeah,
right.
man.
And then
yeah.
Scott Thompson of Kids
right,
in the Hall was
right,
the MC,
right.
I think, the following year. Like, I went 1 year.
Sick.
And
yeah.
I didn't know what was going on, and I was like, "Wow, this is amazing!"
It was a bit of everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah it was yeah. fantastic. You did it was well organized. Like for some of us to do like a
yeah,
there's a zine fair, and then there's a film screening,
right.
and then there's a
right.
musical show. Everything happened in the same spot. The you know a band would finish playing a relatively short set.
Yeah.
Then a screen would come down.
Yeah.
We just didn't have to go anywhere. It was fantastic.
I really wanted variety. I really wanted to celebrate all of that homegrown stuff. People I admire and celebrate their work. It was a real great vehicle. I didn't realize it until it was kind of gone.
Yeah.
What you know, I was getting municipal. Speaking of political, I was
yeah.
getting municipal money to give all my friends, hire all my friends, and celebrate something, right?
The puppeteer, really what was the puppeteer?
Yeah, Curtain's the
Curtain's
puppet.
The
yeah,
puppet,
man. Yeah.
yeah,
the host of the whole festival.
So Curtain's got some money from the city.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was really random, and so when I started seeing that and how strange that was that stood out, right? When it was gone, I kind of went, oh, man, every city should have.
Yeah,
something like this that celebrates independent art within the city. I think that's really strong.
So you think it might have? I mean, this is sort of par for the course
yeah.
For people of our ilk who were raised in suburbs or
yeah.
or smaller towns where to make things happen, you had to push.
That's right. You had to create.
You had
own
to do your
energy.
Own thing
yeah.
to try to
yeah.
emulate other things you'd seen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
do you have a source that way? Is someone or something that motivated you to go down this road? To not only put on cool arts events that
yeah.
are eclectic, but also push your city a little bit?
No, the political thing certainly on the artistic side, there were composers and musicians that blew my mind and got me addicted to music, like, early, right?
Name some. I'm just curious.
You know, like Frank Zappa, Rimsky-Korsakov, weird composers, and the Nihilist Spasm Band really blew my mind when I discovered them, and... and so on and so on, right? The residents, Rinaldo and the Loaf, all these right. quirky kind of humans. And but the political side, like actually being able to, because I could wear many hats, and that's one thing I've learned about myself. Like I could present to a city council and not blow my nose all over them. Or if I'm in the mood, depending on what the performance is, I could, right? But I know how to kind of, I think, change gears and talk their language when required. And I think that's a real skill.
You know who had that skill?
Who's this?
Zappa.
Right, right.
Frank Zappa would go before the PMRC.
Right.
And the contrast between him doing that and Dee Snider of Twisted Sister doing that, both of them very, they made a point of saying, I'm going to sound as articulate and educated as possible to fit your realm while still representing the fringes. And I thought that was interesting.
Oh, it's interesting that you pick up on that, because I didn't, I mean, so maybe the inspiration
you've
was
seen Zappa.
That. That stuff.
Yeah. So I wonder if his, because there is this, he and you have this, yes, have a donut. Have, I'm going to ask another long-winded question. You might as well have a bite of food. He and you, Zappa and you, have this, it's an interesting thing, pushing weirdness into normal realms. Like taking the city's money, probably then also having to say, come on down. To the, they'll be like, hey, our suits need to come down and check out what we're doing with this money.
Right.
So you and you're like, great, come on down. And then they see what's going on.
Yep.
And it's a little weird. Does that, so that to me is a political act.
That's constructive anarchy at its core for me. That's like, that's me doing my thing on my terms. I ran a parade of noises for about 6 years in my hometown of Brampton, and that was making noise with members of the Nihilist Spasm Band, Kid Koala, and others would come to this.
Yeah.
And the thing for me with that one was, it was like trying to introduce them to something a little different. And boy, did homeroom teachers look funny at me and say they weren't really believing it. But then when they saw the kids getting jazzed about making noise in the classroom, that was me selling them on it. It was like, no, there's a place for this. There's a place for having, go figure, for having fun with music and culture and community building. That's a big one for me, too. Right?
I have this thing with my kids where, as a parent, I think they're going to think one thing that they... Okay, as we're speaking, I'll tell you something that happened yesterday.
Go ahead.
As we're speaking, we're in southern Ontario. We're in Hamilton. We've established that. By the time people hear this, I will have moved to Edmonton. Yesterday, the moving truck was at our house.
Yeah.
Our kids were gone the whole day. And then my wife was like, do you want to go get... They were at a play date.
Yeah.
With our friend Nathan Lohr, actually.
Oh, wow.
Our mutual friend, Nathan Lohr. Yeah. So she's like, do you want to get them so they can see the truck in the house? And I was like, yeah. I said yes, but as I was driving, I'm like, do my kids really want to see their the house they've known their whole life empty? Like, isn't I was almost in tears earlier.
Right, sure.
Go get them. They're like, whoa, the truck. Like, it's a big transport truck. Wow, like whatever. Then they go in the house, and they're just like over the moon. And they're like, holy cow.
They were fascinated by the trucks.
No.
And the whole thing, or the whole thing.
House was empty. My kid, all right, we have a small house. He started doing, because he had the room, cartwheels in one of the rooms. Like, look at this. I can do, look at this. Look at this. So my impulse, like your homeroom teachers, was to be like, I don't think the kids are going to be
into
this.
It's
going to
be a thing of trauma maybe, right?
But yes.
They were into it.
I will say in my case, I think they don't. My daughter was like, so can we watch TV? And we were like, no, the TV is gone. So like, my thing is a bit different because they're young and they're...
Yeah, right.
I don't think the idea that it's not our house anymore has quite sunken in. But in your case, I think that we as adults think we're protecting kids, but we're really maybe protecting them from cool stuff.
You know what? That experimenting with sound and has been it's an uphill battle. Like... You're essentially battling that Royal Conservatory way of music education. And so it is an uphill climb, I admit. People want to see polished, product at the end of it, no matter what the age of the musician.
The
impulse
they don't
want to see that weird shit, right?
The impulse is to show the kid the highest level of something.
Yeah. So if you're working with, let's say, found sounds and... quirky sounds and a quirky form or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Ugly sounds, even. We used to play, I used to write a lot about that, of like, on behalf of ugly sounds in music, right? I think it's really important, like a little broccoli in your diet.
Right.
That's what I was doing with the Brampton Indie Arts Festival, right? Here's Hayden, fairly safe artist, and right after him, it's like, here's the Nihilist Spasm Band,
right.
and have fun with it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, try to make sense of it.
That's what I would do as a show promoter as much as I could in Guelph, is you have the gateway to what
nice
is
one.
Palatable, and then here's the thing that either you don't know. It doesn't necessarily have to be completely off-center, but I was always like, it's why hopefully a conscientious show promoter will add a local artist to a bill that they know they don't really even need the local artist for.
The
artist
little bills, things like that go a long
like
way.
That's going to help a long way in your town. So that's a good point. Yeah. So you've always been conscientious. Are you still a proud Bramptonian? Because there's a song, and forgive me, this is a long record, right? There's like 22 songs or something?
Yeah.
So the titles are not all with me.
But
you have this amazing song on this new record. Where you're talking about bureaucracy and how...
Oh, right.
And the mayor in that song is a woman. And I remember, is she still the mayor?
No.
Okay, the mayor...
But replaced by Patrick Brown.
Right,
so
of course.
Just
good Lord.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Right, sorry. Yeah. So you, Brampton infamously had this sort of conservative and, I think, inept and corrupt mayor.
That's right. Well put.
What's her name?
Susan Funnell.
Susan Funnell.
Yeah.
So you have a song... about Susan Funnell. How long has she been out of office?
Oh, long enough that we can butcher her name. Yeah.
So my point is that anger at her is still with you.
Oh, that anger goes to all three levels of government.
And
now.
That song.
It's right? Like, it's like, that piece, Y2K, that you're referring
that's
to
what it is
all about that, right? It's like the corruption in, there's so much to lash out against, and that one definitely was and the older you get, you realize some of these folks now are younger than you. Not that age has anything to do with it, but it's like, I'm pretty sure that's a really terrible idea. You know what I mean? And I used to not be as confident thinking, oh, those folks know what they're doing, but they don't.
It's an easier trope to blame the out-of-touch senior citizen for not caring, but then when the younger people are doing
they
it,
know
you're like,
better.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah,
what are they
concerning.
Doing? What are you doing? Like, why are you acting like a 90-year-old?
So I think the older I get, and I fought for, or in my early days, this building, the Heritage Theater, the festival was
amazing.
And if I reflect on that, it's like, no, man. Like, I was just in Detroit. We go to Detroit a lot, and they preserve their buildings down there, right? It's a thing. It's like any culture, any city should. And I fought for a long time for that building and lost, right? It's like it remained empty. It remained abandoned with no plan for a decade plus.
Yeah.
And now they're just going to tear it down.
It's still up?
Yeah, it's still up, but barely. They're going to tear it down, right?
That
like,
sucks.
So I kind of... And then you sort of realize, wait a minute, I think I was onto something with that. Like, it's... They didn't have a plan. They didn't have vision, right? And that kind of bothers me.
It's
so
a bit... I don't know what to make of that. I don't have a salient point to make here, except that... There's some ahistoricism going on. It's odd. We kind of hector the older, out-of-touch politicians for not being progressive enough. But then the ones who come up, like the younger ones, I think there's a vague... And this is going to make me sound like an old man.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's all this.
We are at granddads, so...
We're at granddads. We're old granddads.
Go grumpy.
That's right. But there's a kind of weird ahistoricism that goes on among some people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes... Where they don't look at precedents as being, they don't care about the old buildings, but they also don't, right now in particular, in an age of misinformation, as weaponized misinformation, ahistoricism is a really handy weapon in that arsenal, because you can be like, it doesn't matter, or that's not true, you know, the way that was framed 60 years ago, even though we're saying on the one hand... We must honor those traditions. The thing that you're mad about, that's a gray area. Like, there's this all this misinterpretation or, I don't know. It's a very confusing time to be you and to be me. And I don't want to cast a broad brush on the young people for this. But because on the other hand, I mean, in the musical realm, vinyl sales are through the roof.
Yeah.
People want the tangible historical artifact.
Right.
More than they have in some time.
Right.
And a lot of them are young people.
Yeah.
I'm very confused, Rich. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to behave. I do, but I don't know how other people are behaving.
It's a fascinating time, though, isn't it? Like,
I think
vulnerable as it is, I'm just super thankful from my perspective that I get to keep putting these things out there and seeing what happens and communicating with an audience, you know, and that's really special. The older you get with it, you know,
like,
and it ain't a super big audience for my work, right? But it's But I value that more and more, that dialogue, that back and forth. It's kind of interesting, right?
Well, you don't get to... I'm starting to feel that way as I get older, too, that this time is precious, right? Like, I'm not going to...
Yeah.
Something could... Yeah. I might not be able to do this forever, and that's... I'm realizing that and trying to savor that more, particularly as I move away from my friends.
Man. So Yeah.
It is a weird time. So this particular record is hard to categorize. There's a lot of different sounds, and... it's very eclectic. It seems, I think a lot of your work has been this way. Does this record, We Are All Terrorists, seem particularly distinct from your previous records? Like, did you, it seems ambitious. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, it took me, as a workaholic, it took me 2.5 years to make, so that was a long time because I broke it up into, I really wanted to celebrate all those friends that I've worked with. So, from anyone from Dinner is Ruined Band to Hoxie Workman and Kevin Bright, we did a couple tracks together to, the Layright Boys, who, Nicholas Robertson, he's played on pretty much all my records. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, those are only a few of that. The Element Choir are another one. I'm changing gears. It is like changing channels. Yeah. Every
song.
Yeah.
And you've got these noise.
That's
suite.
The Element Choir. Yeah.
And what's that suite? It's like a suite, isn't it?
The Terror Variations.
Yeah. Like several of those.
So they're kind of fucking with that end tune, We Are All Terrorists, in different ways with that choir.
Right.
So, yeah, no, it's ambitious. I did it in multiple studios in Montreal, here in GTA. I wanted to do that. I wanted to celebrate. I had my one producer mix the whole thing, the guy that's kind of done records, Greg Dawson in Kingston.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Who does, like, he's done all my work pretty much for the past 15 years. So,
you're hinting at a kind of reflective aspect to this. You reined in, I mean, the people you describe, you have worked with them over the years. Have you?
Yeah.
But you don't often have them all appear on a record.
Well, you can't.
You couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. My prior records were like, okay, let's spend 5 days at Hoxie Workman's studio, me, him, and Kevin, and we did the Great Blue Heron record, right?
Right.
That, I've kind of done all my work that way in a standard, here's a band.
So this is different.
This takes off from that, yeah.
Was there a particular milestone in play? Like, why would you want to...
And to be honest with you, it was listening to a lot of hip-hop and seeing the way they break open, seeing that production approach really inspired me. I was like, oh, every song could be an adventure. It doesn't have to be so one lane, you know, that blew my mind, and... Hmm. It doesn't show on... it's not
you
my...
You mean stylistically.
Stylistically, it doesn't show at all, but that's kind of what threw me in that direction.
Interesting, because you've always had an eclectic... What's the word I'm trying to say?
You were going for eclecticity, so I'll go there with you.
Thank you very much.
I got it.
Donut brain right now.
Yeah.
But you've always had this element to your work, and when you talk about found sound and noise, I mean, that's a very open-ended approach. But, like, you're going from one of these terrorism suites to an old-timey bluegrass kind of country song, and it's very jarring on some level. And it seems like a very holistic, friendly, rich statement. So I guess I just wonder about the motivations for that. You're saying hip-hop drew you there, but any other reason? Like, sometimes you do things like this when you're like, I'm closing a chapter here, and I want to gather everyone who's been involved. Like a farewell party, almost. I'm not saying you're going anywhere.
Right.
But
my wife thought, this is super dark. There's a video for it. Like, the Marty McPherson did a one-hour film that accompanies the whole listen.
I think I saw you post that somewhere.
My face melting, made out of, like, rottable materials. So it's, like, essentially you're watching me, like, rot. And she thought it was, like, a suicide, right? It deals with some dark elements. I'm not going to deny that, but... Yeah. I'm still very much here.
Are you okay?
Yes. Okay. But I'm definitely dealing with... Like, after listening to the whole record top to bottom, I was like, am I okay? I think I'm okay.
You are. Your name is Friendly Rich.
Yeah.
You're always cackling and giggling and cheery, but I do think some of the things you're drawn to are weird and dark.
Yeah.
And so...
Sure, man.
I mean, there's songs on here where you adopt... you tend to adopt voices, too. Mm-hmm. To put certain songs and moods across, and they get very guttural and screamy, and I don't know, I don't want to put, well, you know, like in the realms of Patton, Mike Patton maybe, or Beefheart, you know, these kinds of people, gritty, guttural, and like it sounds bad. So that's in you somewhere. This darkness is, are you
keep
something you have to keep at bay?
Well, that's kind of the push and pull on this record is like the title track, "We Are All Terrorists." Maybe I'll skin me a cat tonight, or just walk home and jerk off. Right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like just kind of this incel bullshit. Like just go deal with it however you must, but don't hurt anyone else in the process. Right?
So it's like, yeah. We talked about the empathy. You relate to these kinds of guys, but you're not celebrating them. There tend to be guys.
Oh God, no! And I would, and that's what I need to be very clear on.
Yeah.
Is every time I've spoken about this record, it's like I'm on one side here, and that's unacceptable conduct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be creative. Do whatever you got to do, but don't hurt anyone else in the process. And
right.
That's what I think. It's a dangerous kind of. So I take this seriously. Very, and it's something I've learned in releasing this record too. Is that how do you want to age as an artist? You know, what do you want to put out there? And maybe it was the wrong move to call it "We Are All Terrorists." But I'm thankful for this opportunity to speak to you or anyone else
has
who
it
will
been
listen.
Has it been misinterpreted?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
but I mean. All it would take is one misinterpretation that would make me, like, really just upset, you know? And, and that was not the point of doing it. So it's the themes you choose to write about. Like, all of it, right? I have been reflecting a lot since the release of this record, right? For sure.
On it?
On it and how it's put out and interpreted and the whole thing, right? And why you make your art. It's fascinating, right?
I mean, like, as a first, on a record, when you name a record, whatever you name it,
right.
That's ostensibly the first statement. That mm-hmm. is the first statement. It mm-hmm. is the first volley in the conversation you have with an audience.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the opening.
Donkey Day would have been totally different. Right?
Yeah, like if you call it Donkey Day, people are like, okay, I guess he's made a donkey.
And you know, I wasn't in the mood to be the comedian that I'm often, you know, I've been dealing with class clowns since, like, grade 12, right? I was up for valedictorian. They were afraid of the speech I was going to make, so they gave me class clown.
Mm.
That's it. That's also me in a nutshell.
That is
so
you.
I wasn't in the mood to keep going class clown.
You are
on
both.
This, right?
You are both.
I'm sure.
People. You occupy that. You used
sure.
to at the Brampton Indie Arts Festival. You stuck out because you wore a suit.
Right.
You would wear a suit every day, and you looked like a respectable member of society.
Thank you.
But you were this circus, and at the Friendly Rich shows too. You often are
mm-hmm.
looking,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you took care of yourself there, and yet mm-hmm. you're inspiring anarchy and. So that is a weird combo of things, but you must have named this record this for a reason.
Yeah,
trying
and
to
constructive
start a
anarchy is what I'm about, right?
So,
but I got to be careful, right?
But you, so if it's true that this is a conversation starter, so
mm-hmm,
to speak,
mm-hmm.
what kinds of conversations beyond this one? What kinds of conversations have you had about this record, and what are you surprised by? Like, are people saying, "I think you mentioned the face melting video startling your wife"? In this expression,
she can't watch it. Yeah,
yeah. In this expression, this current expression, like, how are you feeling? People are receiving it. What have you heard?
You know, we screened that film, the 1 hour film. My wife had to leave early that night, but it's so dark. It's almost beautiful.
Okay.
So it was like a listening party, and we sat there for an hour. I thought the room was going to be clear because it's really gross.
Yeah, but. People
were saying it was beautiful, and I'm going, wow, this is not the reaction I anticipated. Like with your kids, it's
yeah.
like you gotta put it out there and just let it breathe and be what it is. And I'm super proud of all that. This is one of the things I'm most proud of putting out there, right? And I'm behind it. But
it's
fascinating, right?
It's a weird thing. We are very controlling of our expression in our own ways, as much as we like to think.
Well, you gotta be.
I know, but every time I've second guessed myself.
Uh-huh.
And then release something,
mm-hmm.
it does better than the things I think are fine. Does that make any sense? I had this experience recently where I made a memorial episode for an artist, David Berman.
Yeah.
And I decided I had to do something, so I recorded it by myself
mm-hmm.
and then was like, I listened back to it and planned to edit in clips of some of his friends and people who admired him.
Yeah.
And as I was doing it, I'm like, yeah, I can't release this. This is too whatever. Like, it's too self-involved. Mourning is a weird thing to do
right.
publicly.
Right.
It can be a bit performative, and I didn't like it. It was making me uncomfortable.
Okay.
But my wife, I said, can you just listen to this?
Yeah.
Tell me what you think. She's like, no, I think this will help people. You should.
Oh.
It's really good, and you should put it out. And lo and behold, I still get messages from people who thank me for that particular expression, even though it was completely out of my... normal form of expression. So
that's really beautiful.
Well, it is, and I hope really it relates beautiful. To what you're saying.
Well, it does in a lot of ways.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I picked up on there is just how often you bounce things that you're uncertain of across the table to your partner.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
yeah.
and how
they know you better.
How a guiding a voice that is yeah. to like I say like if Lynn's against it or it says something's wrong with it, like, always listen to Lynn. Right?
I it's think
like,
you're. Yeah. I think your like, your partner yeah. Has a custodial sort mm-hmm. of relationship mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. you.
Nice.
More than most people do. Like your friends or your fans might think, oh, that's great, but
right.
they don't. I don't mean
they haven't seen it develop along the way, right?
It's, and they may not have the vested interest in you doing as well as a person.
That's true.
Like they might appreciate you as an artist.
Yeah,
and that's there's an inherent distance in that relationship. Hopefully,
right?
Unless you have a problematic fan,
right?
But there is a distance there where, mm-hmm. as your partner, can be like, no, this. I understand this is important for you. But I would or wouldn't release this because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's not going to do you. It's going to do you harm, or it's going to be good for you. Something yeah. you know, like your yeah. partner has that view of you in a way that most people don't. A producer, even.
Ooh.
Ideally, your producer
100%.
Ideally, your producer is spouse-like, but they can often just be like, "Yeah, whatever." You know, it's
both. Greg Dawson and Lynn, my wife, have saved my ass on yeah. a number of occasions.
I'm sure you've pushed
editorially.
When you're a guy like you, who's I think often pushing envelopes,
I guess so. That's why I'm thinking more and more and more as I age. What are the themes I want to take on and why? Right, like I was in New Orleans recently, and this artist Christine Sung Kim, she did this piece for 14 deaf Louisianans, and it blew my mind. Everyone was in tears.
Oh, wow.
And it was just really interesting. It had me looking in the mirror as an artist, long and
How
short.
How so?
Well, just what are you writing about and why, right? Like, what are you putting out there in this upside-down world?
Yeah.
And why, right?
Well, I also think you have an interesting dynamic as a musical artist, an outspoken musical artist, and someone who is a comedian, or at least comedically inclined. Mm-hmm. There's, mm-hmm. we haven't really said this, so we've talked about anarchy and politics mm-hmm. and music. Mm-hmm. You're funny. Like
right.
you are infusing all of this with humor.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a weird time yeah. still for that. Like you say,
right.
maybe it was a mistake to name my album We Are All Terrorists.
Right.
There's a chance 8 years ago you wouldn't have thought twice.
That's right.
There's
that's
a, right. a heightened sort of conscientiousness that's going on that is having an impact on art in a positive and negative way, I would
yeah.
think, because
yeah.
your expression is now got this filter on it.
Yeah, yeah.
How right. are you dealing with that as someone who pushes envelopes, provokes people? Does that impact you? Like, on some level, it's
yeah.
supposed to be it's supposed to help you make better judgments.
Yeah.
But I also think that you are, particularly for someone like you, I think really values found sound, improvisation. That's a dangerous realm nowadays. Like you could say or do something in the
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
A moment that moments that you've normally trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Those are weird spaces now.
Mm-hmm.
How are you dealing with that? Is that too weird a question?
No, I think, every song on this record was... Like I've gotten feedback that it's anxiety inducing, mm-hmm. and that kind of makes me feel a little like I realize it's dark, and it definitely you'll have a reaction listening to it, right?
I don't think anyone would have necessarily articulated that.
Yeah,
maybe 10 years ago.
Right. Right.
Like
right,
there's a, right.
And that makes me feel a little, like, not that I apologize for it, but that does make me feel a little,
I think it's good and bad, but I do think that we are just, everyone's different. Everyone has different thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
To be constantly policing yourself about what someone might feel or think about something is going to, ideally you're doing something for the greater good, and that's all well and good, but we know from comment sections in Canadian newspapers or you know, websites
that
people come out of the woodwork to decry things because it makes them feel some way, and I just think artistically that's a weird space. Even what I'm saying right now, someone would be like, ah.
Right, exactly.
I don't agree with that, and it makes me, it's not only that I don't agree with it intellectually, you're negatively impacting me emotionally and mentally.
You know what I think it is? I think it's, if the desire is there to continue growing, to not always be right. I've been dealing with a lot of this over this release.
That's a good
of
point.
I could have gotten it completely wrong and respect victims of terrorism in a way that is, you know, something I wouldn't have thought about when I even wrote that tune. If that's what I had to learn to get here, then that's part of, then I take that with me as I go on to the next thing, right?
And
it is that growth, right?
And it's growth. Yeah. Like, I do think, like, as much as I may have sounded negative about it, I think this is all significant societal growth, that the things you say and do are going to impact people in ways that you may not expect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is weird for me as a comedy fan, because to watch routines by my comedic heroes or whatever, or movies even from 10 years ago, I'm like, wow, you could never say or do that now. And some of those comedians are kind of gone.
Kids in the Hall, season one. Oh, no one's written letters yet to the CBC, but there's blackface.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
Mark McKinney,
yeah, we watched that just recently and went, oh, should they have put a little disclaimer at the front?
Yeah.
I think they should have.
Is that on
given
their
the recent
or
election?
Something?
Yeah. Oh. It's on their app, right? So you just look at it with a different lens and go, whoa, guys.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting because,
I mean,
I don't know. We're just at a stage where the things that were wrong then should have always been wrong.
Totally.
But we weren't feeling that. We weren't feeling that at the time.
Yes.
So, it is weird. You got a thing? What do you got?
Fisherman's friend.
Oh, you got a fisherman's friend. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry you're sick.
Pardon me, gentle listener. Yes, thanks, man. Thank you. Thank you. As a workaholic, I tend to get sick when I'm not supposed to. What are you going to do?
The same thing happens to me.
Yeah.
Your body shores you up for the task.
Oh, yeah.
And then it lets you collapse.
I kind of like it, though. It is part of that regroup. We're just before the new year, the new decade.
Yeah. Do you have hope for the new decade?
Totally.
I can't tell if you're, based on your music, if you are, if you have, I think you do ultimately have faith in people, young people in particular, but it must be,
it
get harder and harder to have faith in people who vote and can vote for things and don't vote for the greater good maybe sometimes?
You know what? I think it's all part of the process. I do believe in people. I think the upside down situation we're in right now politically or is unfortunate. There's things to be done, things to be learned on both sides, and like I'm trying to sit down and dine with Doug Ford voters and learn a little something about them and try to love them equally as I remember the Swish LA line.
Yes,
When we were on, I was on with your live.
We did the
with Lido and Sarah.
The last time you
right?
were here, yes, that's right.
And I believe that. I believe that you should sit with someone that you disagree with, and hopefully over Swish LA.
Yes, that's right.
Good neutral zone, right?
We did promote Swish LA.
A little bit of comedy
neutral,
in there, but in all seriousness, I reflect back on that and believe it. I think you should be trying to have meaningful conversations in this year, almost 2020.
Have you had any of those?
I'm trying my best, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
What are you learning?
Hell yeah. Like, sit down. You could find a Doug Ford voter easier than you think, right?
You think there might be one at Granddad's Donuts?
Right here, this paramedic.
We're in the north end here.
Goddamn, there are a lot of public workers, both police and paramedics, that come through Granddad's. It's a fascinating bit of anthropology.
Why is the donut a symbol of the working class, sort of? Also, the people who protect us most, who should be the most fit.
Right. Physically. Pounding the walnut crunches.
Cops. I just did the same thing. Cops, paramedics, this is not good for them.
Mm-hmm.
They should know better. Mm-hmm. But Maybe it's an indulgence. Your life is hard and stressful.
You got to take a load off. Thank take you for load. Your service.
Yeah, that's nice. Well,
there it was.
There's a chance that some voters like that are here, and I don't know, Rich. I'm confused. I feel like.
Well, you're moving to Edmonton.
Yes, I'm moving to Alberta.
Dinner. You're going to be having dinner with. I think that is the challenge, though, right? And not to be combative. Like, I think that's. I'm not interested in that. That's too difficult.
I just feel like we spend a lot. Even all social media is kind of like this. We spend a lot of time either trying to emotionally manipulate each other.
Yeah.
With a photo, with a comment. I do it. I mean, I think I don't mean to do it, but when I think back, I'm like, why? My father-in-law is like, why do you guys do this? Why do you post these photos?
Yeah. What's
and
in it?
Why do you post these comments? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I think what I said to him once, maybe 2 years ago, was I think, well, everyone is inherently sad and depressed. And I think that they express themselves in this way in either because they're trying to express that for sympathy or some attention, or because I think they want other people to know that they're not alone, too.
That's a nice, I like that end bit.
There's no other way of articulating why we've all agreed to take these photos of ourselves and write our little comments and share them. And then people like them or they don't like them, and you have to then deal. You've made your little comment, and then you have a real-time metric of how it's being processed. This cannot be healthy for us psychologically. I know it's not for me.
It's not real dialogue, though. That's the thing, right? It's not.
It's almost enough for people.
Yeah, and I do think that's dangerous, and I appreciate any moment I can have, like this one with you, where you could actually try to unpack some of these things and say, wait a minute, man. Like, I think conversation is key, and we're not having enough of them. Like, we're really not, and trying to understand the other side.
Yeah,
like,
Well, I mean, I'm going to Alberta. And
you're our mole.
Well, Edmonton is quite progressive.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, there's going to be... Dude, we are in Doug Ford's Ontario.
Yeah, exactly.
We are down the road from a city that elected Rob Ford to be their mayor, despite everything he had said and done. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't gotten sick... Have you listened to that Gravy Train podcast?
No.
Oh, you should listen to that Gravy Train podcast. It's all about the rise and fall of Rob Ford. And they talk to some experts... And people who say if he hadn't gotten terminally ill, he would have won. And
for sure.
Despite everything, the crack at that point there had been the scandals and
right.
So all I'm saying is, when Ontarians sort of snidely say, "Hey, you're going to Alberta," I think, well, we're in Doug Ford's Ontario.
Yeah,
I mean,
come down a notch.
He hasn't
we're not
been
exactly.
He hasn't been as hapless and bumbling as you would think. I mean, part of the reason my work life has been disrupted is because I worked at a place that was impacted by his initiatives.
Right.
And so, yes, I'm not going
to... You take that personally, right?
Well, I
do. Yeah.
But I'm not running... I'm not thinking I'm running to some Swiss chalet. I think I'm... Yeah, it's going to be challenging. And the last government that province had was NDP. It's,
I don't know. It sways, right?
That's the kind of problem is that... Yeah. I am someone very resistant to most change. I mean, I'm a progressive person, but in my own life, I like to know where I have systems. I know where my stuff is. I like the good donut store.
Yeah.
I like the good coffee. And
I love good systems.
My wife's joke is every time I go to like one of our favorite Thai places, I say, every once in a while, I always get a pad Thai.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, I say, you know what? I'm going to get something different. And then I'm George Costanza. I'm like,
you're always dialing in the same.
I should have not got the different thing. I know what I like. I like what I like. Why does that? Why do I have to change it all the time?
Mm-hmm.
But this politics thing is like this. People just vote differently. Like, it doesn't even matter if it completely contradicts their last vote.
Yeah,
I voted NDP last time. This time I'm going to vote for the... whatever they're called, the ultimate conservative party.
Right? Yes,
and
the ultimate.
Like, I don't. What are you talking about? Why are you doing this?
I got challenged. I was doing a talk at York, and I got challenged by a guy right around when Trump won.
Oh yeah,
got challenged in a music education class by one of the students.
Oh,
saying accusing me of being the liberal side of music, and the Royal Conservatory more straight side being the kind of more conservative. And I never looked at it that way. And I thought, wow, the only thing I've stood for in the classroom is this constructive anarchy. We're standing for nothing almost. The nihilist spasm bend.
Yeah.
Spoiler ballot, vote nihilist.
Right.
But then I started thinking about it more often. And I thought, you know what? It's time to get political in the classroom. Yeah. It's time to stand for something with conviction, do it with love, and I think you can move the meter. I think you have to keep that hope. Otherwise, yeah. in your circles too, in those communities that you are in, that's how you make the change.
I think we live in our little vacuums,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know what's going on. You say have conversations with people, and where I was coming from with the... I don't know how we went on this tangent. It's probably my fault. But
it's good.
I also think that... Oh, I was talking about manipulation. I was talking about emotional manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there's a point where we've come to recognize that it doesn't really matter what the facts are. Some people are just going to pick their side and not waver. And so you can't change their mind with a conversation.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
whenever you
right.
see...
Right.
I know the media is complicit in all of this, but they will occasionally do these stupid things where they... In America, they'll say... We talked to Trump supporters
right.
about the latest thing that he's being accused of, and they were not swayed.
Right.
They think it's a whole, you know, creation of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And then they say, but what about the facts? Like,
what
look
about
at,
grab them by the...
Whatever. Look at it.
The day after, grab them by the... That came out, yeah. and the Trump signs were still on the lawns. I thought, we're doomed. And he won, right?
Yeah.
They don't
yeah, yeah.
care about
Well, like a lot of people say, the moment he made fun of the... disabled reporter mm-hmm. should have been the done. And the fact that it wasn't
yeah.
says a lot
yeah.
about us
right.
or people. And so not
right.
us, not you and me, I don't think. But anyway, no. my point is this is where the helplessness, hopelessness stuff comes
yep.
in. Like
yep.
it doesn't seem the fact that for so many people the facts don't matter. They just base it on a weird gut reaction or feeling to people saying,
yep.
well, I didn't like Kathleen Wynne. So
I
hated her so
right,
much.
Right.
And then you'd say, you know, for better or for worse, I'm not trying to take a stand here, but
no,
were
no.
we not in a better position before?
I agree with that, but many don't.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And
but that's not fact-based. This province elected someone with no platform, zero
yep.
idea, like
yep.
zero presence, just gone in for like, I'll win and then
yep.
we'll see what I do. And then
yep.
and he won, and now the people who voted for him are like, wait a minute, my daughter is a teacher.
This is going to affect
my granddaughter goes
right.
to university. What are you doing? You're the
right.
And we're like, yeah, well, he
right.
had no... Why? How the hell is there a system where you can just... I'm getting too political.
I think the thing with you, though, is even... You were personally affected by...
Yeah, exactly.
Ford, but the thing is, how do you remain loving when and make it more less about you?
Yeah.
I don't know how. If that was me, if I was... I, and he's cut every sector, so we're
yeah,
all affected
everyone's mad
it, like,
at him specifically, but we're not... taking ownership over a system,
yeah.
a first-past-the-post system, first of all, that is
right,
complicated.
Right,
and then
right.
I don't know what it means that people are this undereducated or underinformed. I know we're all busy and overworked and working multiple jobs, but...
And I'm not saying have a conversation with someone to change their mind. I'm saying have a conversation with someone to... try to love them and find some common ground with them, even if they voted for Trump or Ford. I think there's got to be I've got to believe in that. Otherwise,
well, you don't make music. I don't think you're making your weird music to change someone's mind. I think
no.
you're. We all.
But
are,
this is the world according to me, right? When I'm making my art, I'm trying to get that out there.
We're trying to show some sector of the world.
Yep.
That there is another way of living and another way of thinking and another way
yeah.
of expressing yourself.
Right.
I don't know if that politics should have the same... Well, politics has the same elements to it, right?
Yeah.
Except you've got to be persuasive and manipulative
yeah.
and convincing people of it. But like, I'm very close to like... I would be willing to take a test before I voted. That sounds snobby and stupid and probably
yeah.
a lot of
yeah.
difficult...
Yeah.
Like, but like, just a basic like... We have to do tests for so many stupid things that every idiot can pass. We all pass them. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I was, and when I'm in a rush driving, I'm like, why do I have a license? Like, I shouldn't. I'm safe. Don't get me
wrong. You were safe getting here.
I'm pretty
yeah,
safe.
Yeah.
yeah. But
yeah.
I, there are times where I'm like, any idiot could have a license.
Right.
Like,
right.
And we see that with statistics.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
the same token, like anyone can just say, I'm voting for this, and not be knowledgeable about any issues, and I think that's odd. But again, there's no way to police that. I don't know what I'm not really proposing anything here. I'm just sad that people
yeah,
act
yeah.
this way. That's all. And I don't know what to do about it. And I appreciate that you're hopeful and still provoking people to think. And I'm trying to do the same with these long-winded spiels.
We got to. You got to keep something. Hopeful. Otherwise, yeah. There's no. The other side is too bleak, right?
It's right. And I think we both, in our own way, in our own work, discuss the bleakness with the lightness.
Oh yeah, there's no hiding from it.
There's no hiding from it.
And it's the world's upside, like just a mess right now. Yeah. But I try to make sense of it and just be compassionate for those. You're right. We're all in pain. The more you realize that, the more you can be. Just put your best
all about
person
the Facebook
out there,
posts
right?
and what or whatever I said to my
all
father.
Of it. Yeah,
I think it's true. I think we're
half the people in this granddad's donuts right now are probably like that gentleman over there.
I can't look. I'm
you
not going to
don't look.
Okay,
but yeah,
probably some pain.
Pretty sure there's a wee bit of pain meter on everybody, right?
It's
inevitable getting through this thing.
I mean, we talk about our pain. We gather for funerals and things because we want to commiserate with each other,
right,
and that's
right.
fair. And it's just happening on a scale. And under the guise of social media, that I think is a bit troubling. That's all. I sound like an old man, but I do think my father-in-law's point is like, why? What are you gaining from this?
What are you doing? Where's the human connection?
Why are you posting
in that?
A photo of your child on the thing? And I'm like, I don't know why I am. Like, except for what I said.
Right.
I think I want other people to. One of my brother-in-law's friends at his wedding. We had our small son there with us, and she called him a trick baby. And I said, what does that mean? She was young and single at the time. She's like, that's a trick baby. That's a baby that is pretending to be a great baby so that I'll want a baby.
Oh, whoa.
And I was like, a trick baby. That's an interesting expression.
What a term.
And then I thought, but it did motivate me to be like, I kind of want to share some stuff about what it's like to be a parent in hopes that other people who are down on it Or feeling that, like we go through it too. My wife's like, I feel like I'm a terrible parent because of something my kid said or did, or the fact that I let them do this thing. And then when we get together with the other parents, like, oh no, I do that. We all do that.
It's normal.
Well, it's we don't know if it's normal,
it's your
but
journey,
it's
right?
it's our journey. Well, at some point you have to give them the screen or whatever, or turn on the TV, and like that's what she was feeling bad about.
Yeah,
and so. Yeah, these kinds of open posts and discussions and provocations, I guess, to just get people to think about things like you do with your work, I think they help. They help people relate to you and to us and recognize that we all have different kinds of struggles. And so, I'm trying to look on the bright side of what I said earlier.
I'd be worried there.
Well, there's a point to some of these posts is all I'm saying.
Excuse me.
Anyway, it's complicated. But I think you've captured a lot of things on a very jarring record, if I might say. And I hope we've given people something to think about as they check out this new album, which has been out a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's been out about a month.
A month. So what are you working on next?
I mean, I'm going to be touring this record. I'm going to be trying to go to Europe in the fall of 2020. And
you've been before.
Trying to give it a little... Yeah, I've been a bunch... Trying to give it a little more time to breathe, but I'm going to be premiering a piece for a mechanical organ.
Oh,
I inherited this 115 pipe mechanical street organ.
Oh,
so I'll be doing that in Guelph in September.
Okay, September
at the Guelph Jazz Festival.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
what's the
name
of the
project? It's a
one
man band kind of thing that I'll be performing along with this mechanical organ.
Okay.
So that's a new piece that I'm writing at the moment.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Really interesting.
I wish I still lived in that town.
Oh, Guelph. We have all that in common, right? Like that we're in Hamilton at this Granddad's Donuts, but I mean the Guelph thing is real. It's such an interesting city to me, and
I know you've been fascinated with it.
Why don't
you just move there?
Yeah, and a lot of
you
people
want to buy
say
our house.
That.
We haven't sold it yet. Do you want to buy the house?
There you go. We'll see what tomorrow brings. But I do love Guelph, it always continues. You know what? It's really weird. Like you talk about where your work resonates, and it's like Europe, Quebec. Guelph.
Yep.
I don't know why, but there's this thing that keeps pulling me back to Guelph.
So anywhere where there's people who are open to weirdness.
Yeah, I guess so. And New Orleans, I connected with all these weirdos out there. The minute I landed, it's like they knew Ronaldo and the Loaf. No one knows Ronaldo and the Loaf, right? Yeah. They knew of Ronaldo and the Loaf, and I felt like I've been spending my whole life kind of refining my definition of weird and these relationships with people like that and the Spasm Band. And it all kind of makes sense. Oh, and I'll be finishing my PhD. I'm on the side. I'm doing a...
On the side.
Yeah. In the wee hours, I've been doing a PhD, and this will be my year to finish it. So
what's it in?
I'm looking at musical playgrounds.
Oh.
And that's why I was in New Orleans research this site called the Music Box Village. Check it out online. It's really mind-blowing, really open... experimentalists, sound artists.
Okay.
And so I went out there for about 3 weeks in May to research kids playing in that space. And so, I'm writing my dissertation now, so I'm about...
Can you nutshell it in a way? Like, what are your findings?
I'm looking at it as a musical playground as a vehicle for community building.
Okay.
In a lot of my work, that word comes up, right? The work I do with Regent Park School of Music, all based on community building through music.
Okay.
And my own weird music is community building through. It just happens to be really offside music, right? But it's looking at it through that lens, how it helps with community health, how it helps with curriculum development and music education.
This explains, maybe subconsciously at least, why you might have brought your entire music community onto this new record. Like, you actually tried to bring everyone together.
Totally, totally. I mean, that was... And I failed. Like, I didn't bring all the people I know and love on it, but I sure as hell threw the kitchen sink as many as I could. The work kind of loaned itself to that. Like, as I went through it and figured out that was my way of creating it.
Well, it's amazing. It's an amazing record.
I don't know if I'd do it again. Like, I am excited by the idea of, like, a few humans in a studio just kind of hacking it out and doing it the standard way, but there's many... I'm also putting out, like, in the new year, I'll be putting out a bunch of sample packs.
Oh.
Because I'm interested in that, too, of not being so precious with the music and just saying, here's an idea, producer, if you want to throw something on it and do something with it and seeing where that goes, too. Like, I think that's kind of a whole new audience of creatives, not necessarily just listeners to the final product.
But right.
Do you want to do something with this doodle, right?
Nice, so, nice.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Well, that's great. I mean, you're a busy guy, and the work is fantastic and ambitious, and I value you, if that makes any difference to you. And
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I always appreciate you giving time to all of the work I do. It's I
try my best.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with everything. I'm just a person, and I can't do it all, and I sometimes feel like... I'm like Oscar Schindler at the end of that movie. I'm like, I could have done more.
Yeah.
But I also am like trying to also rein that. I can't do everything. I'm one man.
No, exactly.
But anyway,
exactly.
I didn't mean to make this bleak. Thank you for your compliment, and I'm doing my best.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Where can people go to learn more about you and your wares?
FriendlyRich.com. Keep it old school, right? Yeah.
Friendly
I have
Rich
a website.
Do you have a Bandcamp?
I do. Yeah, okay. All of that's on my website. Yeah.
Is the new record, it's a long record. Is it on vinyl?
CD.
CD.
Vinyl,
okay.
I didn't do this time. Yeah, so.
Okay. It's
prior releases on vinyl, rage. Though. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So friendlyrich.com, and then they can figure out the band.
You got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a song from We Are All Terrorists that we can go out on?
Sure.
You're really eyeballing this fellow behind me. I can't see
you. Yeah, I know. I'm not even looking at you anymore. It's just, we're having a staring contest,
oh my
me
God.
And this man.
Okay.
Let's go Le Malaise. That's one I did with the Woodshed Orchestra, and it has that kind of, it's dark, it's about depression, but it's with the Woodshed Orchestra, who are nothing but bright, and kind of, so that was kind of an interesting juxtaposition in that tune, and I'm really happy with what came from it.
My old friend Dave Clark is
Hey, Dave Clark leads the show on this one, yeah.
Okay, this is Le Malaise by Friendly Rich. Rich, thank you so much for being back on the show, and I hope I see you sooner rather than later. And
cheers.
Oh, and
thanks
again to Granddad's Donuts for having us and for providing us with delicious donuts.
Very friendly here. Thanks, Vish.
You're welcome.
Je m'en excuse. Je suis malade. Je Je suis venu l'aider.
Oh, it's very nice to feel like I was back in Ontario there for a little bit with my old friend, Friendly Rich, who appeared on this, the 517th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all iOS and Android platforms and also on things like Spotify and YouTube and Audio Boom as well. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook or follow the show on Twitter at @vishcreative or follow me directly at @vishkana. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. Again, there is currently a $6 tier now, $6 or more, and you actually get exclusive access to content that I'm only posting on the Patreon. It's stuff from my audio archives. I think a lot of it's going to be very interesting to those of you who follow the show. So again, patreon.com/creativecontrol to learn how you can access this stuff. Thanks as always to my local sponsors. Well, they used to be local. I'm in Edmonton now, but still, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, Planet Bean Coffee, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. Also, thanks to Jim Guthrie. He lets me use music on this show, and I love him dearly. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you. Thank you very much for listening to this program, this episode, and other episodes of the podcast. Feel free to subscribe to it. Tell your friends to maybe check it out and do the same. And I will talk to you before you know it. I'll be right back with you very soon. So thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Flimsy staying slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last. Designed to impress.